It's beginning to look a lot like Boogaloo! Welcome back, everybody, to the final episode of season 4, Haul It Damned, of the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Oh, I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadoo, and I am happy to be here with you so that we can talk about New Year's Evil.
You're
Oh.
saying it wrong. It's evil.
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 All right. And joining me, finally, we have Nick Boxer.
Greetings and salutations. I'm looking forward to talking about this cinematic masterpiece.
Masterpiece Theater, yes. And finally, Jack Hall.
Finally, Jack, jumping Jack all
Jumpin'
over
Jack
here.
Hall.
Sup, sup.
And finally, of course, we have Jim Cotta.
It has been far, far too long since we had a canon film,
It's
and
true, boy.
I am jazzed to talk about 1980s classic New Year's Evil.
Yeah, 1980, New Year's Evil. Okay, well, Nick Boxer, tell us all about the evil.
Well, apparently, LA has a Dick Clark's type New Year's Rockin' Eve television show. Although I didn't see a camera in the thing shooting, whatever. And we have a beautiful young-ish host who has a fully grown son. That
She's
comes
like
with.
45 at the time she did the movie. Go on.
That's really that's not crazy. That's not fucked up.
No. And she gets a phone call from somebody threatening her life that says he's going to kill somebody, and every time
He doesn't threaten her life. He threatens the life of somebody she's close to.
I thought it was her directly.
No, it's
Oh,
not somebody
just
that she loves, somebody that's close to her, important to her. Am I
okay.
wrong, guys, or is that the
It's kept vague. Like
Yeah.
he doesn't say at the beginning he threatens someone near her, and then as that goes on, the police start talking about how he threatened her.
But
So I think you're both right, but it's the cops who got overrun.
yeah. But the cops in this are so good at their job.
Mm-hmm. They truly know how to, stop people
Well,
from killing.
anyway, somebody's going to die at midnight, according to this serial killer or potential serial killer who's threatening somebody at this live event. But leading up to the hour, he's going to kill somebody every hour leading up to, according to the time, as my midnight hits across the United States. Now, I was a little confused for a little while. I thought he was driving across the country, but no. He was just paying attention to the time zones because he's only killing people in LA.
Yes.
Yeah. And the rest of the movie, we just follow him stalking his victims. As far as I can tell, this movie doesn't even have a star. It's just it just sort of checks into random vignettes
Oh, it has a
of
star, the soundtrack.
Yeah,
man,
Shadow
that soundtrack.
and Made in Japan. Oh, yeah.
Damn.
One of
Yeah,
those,
I mean, we
this theme song is going on the end of this sucker.
that theme song is amazing.
Is great.
Yeah, oh, that theme song
It is a
is
very
fantastic.
unique, uniquely made movie. I enjoyed it greatly. You can like absolutely nothing because nobody in this because it's, everybody's a jerk. You're kind of cheering for them to get killed. And other than that, I mean, the we spend the most time with Evil, the killer, and he's just that. He's an emotional emotionless creep that is stalking basically innocent victims.
That's what a serial killer does.
Yeah,
And yes,
but
they
normally
are
we don't
completely
spend that much
innocent.
time with a character we can't like in a movie.
Well, but like you said, every character in this movie is unlikable.
Oh yeah, but otherwise we'd hate him because he's killing good people. But I mean, quite honestly, every time somebody gets it in this movie, it was like, finally, that chick is dead. She's not talking about her diarrhea anymore. Yes.
He's not lying, folks.
I wish he was exaggerating on that. Yeah.
Yeah, there's interesting character decisions made in this movie. script points, yep. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, at the beginning of this movie, I really thought that this was just a great excuse to try to push forward Shadow and Made in Japan, who both didn't successfully gain careers from this one. But I enjoyed them both.
I love all the tunes in the movie. There's some really great songs. I think Dumb Blondes was my favorite.
Dumb Blondes, yes, that was a.
But there's like there's a goodly amount of like the songs are played out in their entirety.
Oh yeah.
And the theme song for New Year's Evil was played at least three times in its entirety. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I'm not exaggerating. Like they're like fucking. This is Canon Films. Let's face it. Yeah. They're sitting there going, we paid these motherfuckers for this song. We're going to get our money's worth.
Well, it's funny.
Oh, I kind of doubt they paid them.
They did it for exposure. That was the structure of Elvis movies, which I thought was an interesting, a strange parallel, is that Elvis movies were structured that because they wanted to sell the albums off of Elvis movies, he would sing the song at the beginning, sometime during the film, and then at the very end, the same song would play. And that's basically what happens in New Year's Evil, is that we get
now a whole montage. Now I want to know if anybody involved with the film had a cut of the album and production of the sales.
If they didn't, they should have.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't find an album from Shadow at all, so... That's a shame in my mind. But it's definitely after that, like it's so 1980 because it's just on that cusp between that new wave feel and that hair metal feel. It's right in that sweet middle between that, and so the sounds are all crazy.
Yeah, they do call it, I think they call it the new wave top. Yeah, it's the new wave top 40 or top 100 or whatever.
Yeah, but it's got a kind of got a punk feel as well.
Yeah, cool, because new wave really had a lot of punk elements to it. But then Shadow looks like a hair metal band, yeah. And then Made in Japan looks like a punkish new wave kind of band. So
there's a mosh pit.
Yeah. For sure,
and at one point there's a slow dance mosh pit, which is one of the most unique things I've ever seen.
That was awesome.
Well, I just thought it was so weird because right off the bat you're seeing these crazy people driving around in this car, like smoking and spitting and like doing all this like stuff.
People that had nothing to do with the movie.
Well,
people that are introduced as this major role,
and then they're
going to be the badasses causing trouble the whole night. And have nothing to do with the movie, but they spent all this time on them, join them, and then they show up and they're giving like the security guard a hard time and this and that.
And they're just like, in the mosh pit. Trouble. That's all.
And they're just in the then nothing. Nothing.
Yeah. Like, it was just like, oh wow, these kids are crazy. This is like the warrior shit. And now now it's like, oh,
I really thought there was gonna be a riot at the end there that you know, evil is able to sneak in or something, and nope.
Yeah, this, and I think it's one of those cases where this entire movie you're waiting for things to happen, and then it doesn't happen. Like that's the same way that I felt with the killings, because all of the killings are of that variety where it's just like, oh, we're gonna get a killing, and then it's like cut away or like there's a sheet over top and it's like, oh yeah, you totally stabbed her under the sheet.
Yeah, right? Yeah, they didn't. Yeah, kind of. You just gave away our no more heart than budget.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
Apparently, we have nothing more to say.
No,
I thought Nick was going to say something.
I was a little confused. Could anyone else figure out? Did anyone else figure how he was choosing his victims? Because he seemed to have a criteria.
Yeah, they were people that were 1 degree away from the family. It's a nurse at the hospital that he had been checked into. It's his wife's assistant.
Sluts at the bar, because the wife's assistant, didn't she die before the movie?
She dies in the first time zone. She dies in she's at the very first time zone, and then
the girl that's hanging out with the diarrhea lady. How is she attached?
She was just brought along. She wasn't supposed to be killed.
So the very beginning, like 2 minutes in, like somebody gets killed. It's the assistant to this DJ VJ person. Okay,
who isn't found until like 92 minutes later.
Yeah. Well, then you have the nurse. What was her relationship?
She was a nurse at the hospital where he had been checked in for exhaustion or depression or something like that.
Okay, because the killer is, spoiler alert, actually the husband of this woman.
I mean, the reveal happens like 30 minutes into the movie for some weird reason. They reveal that it's her husband without ever establishing him as a character before that.
Oh, exactly. But so I don't feel too bad. Don't feel too bad about spoiling anything.
They're too busy trying to establish her son as like looking like he's the creepy killer, putting on like pantyhose on his head and shit. But
that scene was completely unnecessary.
Oh, well, almost that everything with
and a little more than a little homophobic.
The son does have an amazing outfit. His outfits like. That outfit could have carried in the entire 80s. He has a dress shirt and skinny tie, jeans, and a jacket with tails.
It's the collar that pulled it off, though.
Oh, yeah, and a wide collar, yeah.
Wide collar? I thought it was a short point, like, straight.
It would be a popped collar at any point. It's like it's a really heavily starched collar is what it is. It's sort of like a prep school kind of collar.
Okay, so now the girl in the bar, what was her relationship?
Target of opportunity. I think that's where the story falls apart. Is that there
is? Oh, that's where the story falls apart. So the nurse then, because he plays pretends to be a doctor.
Yeah.
So you're saying she used to treat him as a patient because his disguise to hide himself was.
It's not that she knew him. She's a nurse. At the same hospital. So he's killing someone at the same hospital where he was, as opposed to like someone who actually treated him. Because he got checked in there because he's referred to at the very she says that he's in Palm Springs, either coked up or loaded, which I thought was an amazing line. So that's why he's not on time for her show. But yes, he got checked in for exhaustion or something, and then he just killed someone at the same hospital.
It was actually the mustache was for the girls in the bar, which I still don't understand why he was not.
He needs to be disguised for the people who don't actually know him.
Yes.
don't try to make sense of
okay.
it. Don't do it.
The first two victims I can give you, they may be attached, but the driving girl, the girl who seems to get fondled just to watch the movie. What do you think her attachment was?
I don't think there was one. I think it's pretty random.
Yeah,
and he kills the other girl just because she comes along.
Yeah,
like he picks up a girl in a bar and her like for safety, you know. Reasonable. This is what you should do with a stranger. You're gonna go hang out with a stranger, bring a friend, and then he can murder her before he kills you, as kind of like a starter course. So he kills both of them.
He also leaves a lot of shoes behind. Did you notice?
Yes. Yes, he did.
It's kind of his thing. Yeah.
Because the nurse they discovered because they find her shoe.
Yeah.
Diarrhea girl gets. Gets caught because a shoe is left behind. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous how many shoes this guy loses.
Not a detail-oriented person.
No, well, no, because he doesn't care. Like, at a certain point, he really doesn't seem to care that she knows and everybody else figures it out right around that. Like, hey, what's her husband doing in here? We've locked this place down. Oh, hey, I'll bet you he's the killer. Yeah,
at the beginning, he's all secretive, and it's like it's going to be a mystery. And then by the end, he's like, he doesn't seem to care in the least about, like, he's really has no intention of getting away. Like,
he seems to talk about it, you know, like he, mm-hmm. when he reveals his master plan while Blaze is tied up in the elevator and stuff like that, that he seems to, you seem to have this feeling like he thinks he's going to get away, but you realize that with cops surrounding the place and everybody actually knowing that he's the killer, that there's no real chance that he's actually going to get away. So, but mm-hmm. I mean, none of the planning was really strong.
I don't know that he planned to get away. I figured it was going to end in some, like, you know, horrible thing, and that was the plan too. Was I didn't think he was planning to survive this thing.
I guess we'll never know.
Yeah,
never know.
Yeah, his motivation is as unclear as the rest of the story. Canon.
And yet canon.
From Canon Films. I love everything about this. But one of my favorite bits is, okay, so he picks up the two girls in a bar, and then he stops so that one of them can run into the liquor store. He's like, go buy the best, buy a bottle of the best. And he gives her like $100. Go. And she seems to get about $98 back in change. and she, the guy working at the liquor store is about 7 feet tall. a black dude and the most serious person in the entire film. He's talking to her like the world is about to end, and he's like, so he must have been someone, like he must have been like an athlete or something that they put in here, because he's clearly not comfortable at all in
the
scene.
Well, I think he saw what he read the script and knew what this was going to do to his career.
But he's just like so incredibly serious, and it was quite it really took me out of the moment, I'll be honest. but yeah, she's
your problem with the movie.
She seems to get about $90, $90 some back in change after having bought the best bottle of bubbly.
Hey, look, you saw that place. That probably was the best bottle of bubbly.
Mad Dog 2020, man. Yeah. That's the best. That's the best you could buy.
I love that one of the girls he picks up, she's very California, like post hippie, crystals and everything, and at one point says that she's been spending a lot of time writing haikus.
Yes.
She was good. I enjoyed her. Although I was kind of glad when she died. It was,
well, it's a limited enjoyment. You were glad when everybody died. So.
You're like, the next person has to be more likable. And then they weren't.
Hell, most of this country movie, I was trying to figure out like where he was in the country, because he only had 3 hours to get across the country to kill this lady.
No, he could kill them during that time zone's midnight. We didn't have to be in that time zone.
Oh, it took me a while to figure that one out.
Yeah,
and in fairness, most of the plot summaries I've read still didn't figure that out. The plot summaries, like the IMDb plot summary, does say that he's killing people across the world.
Wow,
across
the whole United States. Crazy.
He's killing in each time zone, as opposed to at each time zone.
So I'm pretty sure that in each time zone, somebody who watched this movie committed suicide. Probably did.
Oh, come on, this is a much better movie than we normally watch.
What?
Well, I enjoyed this movie.
Okay.
I can't wait for New Year's Evil. Evil 2.
Oh, it's only been 38 years. I'm sure it's coming. Yeah,
New Year's Evil. More evil.
New Year's more evil.
Evil harder.
Evil harder. This time it's personal. Well, it's true. It's set up a sequel, though. They totally set up a sequel.
Oh yeah, for sure. The very end, when the son grabs his mom in the ambulance, and oh yeah, I mean, it's like, there you go, we're ready for a sequel. Nope.
Yeah, because the kid shows up and tells the mom what Blaze or whatever her name was. Blaze. Blaze or Blaze?
Blaze, as in fire.
All right, so he shows up and he tells her, you know, I got the part because he's an actor. He got some part in some TV show, and it's a really interesting part. And she doesn't have a time for him because she's only self-concerned with herself, right? So well, he's
and she is just about to go on TV.
It was the night of her big show.
Yeah.
Dude, she was like this clearly his whole life.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. But
I'm just saying the timing was problematic.
Dude, it doesn't matter. She could turn around and go, congratulations. She didn't even hear him. She was whatever. She was a cow, like everybody else. Part of the flaws of this movie. So now this kid who at first you have a little sympathy for, but yeah, when he puts on, when he's talking about like how much he hates her and wants to kill her and putting on the makeup and the pantyhose over his face, it's clearly to set. And then when his dad dies, he's all upset, even though his dad has just tried to kill everybody. And you know, he takes the mask that this like clown mask that his dad wears at the end, and yeah, it's totally set up for a sequel. And I don't know, like, how badly did this movie have to fail at the box office for Canon to not be willing to make a sequel? I mean, they're not picky.
not in the least.
Now, the actress who plays Blaze, I didn't do my research, unfortunately. Was she somebody?
She was a person.
She was somebody to somebody. The liquor store clerk, Jerry Chambers, retired basketball player.
Roz Kelly was Pinky Tuscadero in Happy Days.
That's right. I did look up that she was Fonzie's girlfriend in a couple episodes of.
See, that brings a whole new light to this entire movie. Now I care about her.
Her career is so storied that that she has 8 photos on IMDb and 5 of them are New Year's Evil.
Oh my. Oh my. So it was a movie.
So that's that.
Yes.
That's a movie.
All right. Well, why don't we get to the scoring of this movie?
Hey, scoring. I like when we get to the scoring.
Yes.
All right. Oh, wrapping up another season. I feel like end of an era, fourth season. All right.
End of an era. End of the fourth season.
Yes. Yeah. All right. In our search for the ultimate B movie, we rate each movie in 5 categories, none of which are objective quality. The first category is called Schlock Appeal, and we start with Stan.
Well, it brings a tear to my eye to talk about Schlock Appeal because it's the last time that I'm going to talk about Schlock Appeal for this season. But you know, the thing about New Year's Evil for me is that I was largely bored watching this movie through the entire thing. Because I didn't give a shit about any of the characters, but the number one thing that I really felt like there was a big giant wellspring of boogaloo that was just right under the surface that was itching to get out, and at no point did they ever actually let that boogaloo out. But it was just so
boogaloo its potential. That's a whole other category.
But it was just so close because I was just like, oh, it's gonna be a killing. Oh no. Oh, it's gonna. Oh, the whole time. Like even with the bands and stuff like that, it was just like, oh, you just missed. You just missed. It's. I can see watching this. This is a great movie to watch. I'm picturing it like 2 a.m. when you just get back from whatever the fuck you'd be doing up till 2 a.m. and you're like, I really need to just wind down. And like,
just got back from your New Year's Eve party.
Yeah. And so maybe New Year's Eve is on at that point. And you think, huh, perfect. I can watch it. But that's about the only time that I could justify by it. Like this movie is like kind of flat across the board. So I'm just going with a 4.
Okay. Yeah, I'm agreeing with you. I thank God this isn't a relative enjoyment scale because I liked it a whole lot more than you did. But really, it's not coded in schlock. I'm giving it a 4 for the title alone, but other than that, it doesn't have a hell of a lot of schlock.
Stan, you summed it up so brilliantly. Everything you said was perfect, perfectly described this. 4.
All right. I think I agree with the crowd, but I give it a 6. I think that it's got some good kills. It's got some...
When?
The kill where he smothers the girl with a bag of weed.
Okay, that's a good
brilliant.
Kill.
Brilliant. And the bag of weed, kill. he's got like what looks like an 8-pound bag.
Yeah.
He's got like a garbage. Like,
hey, have you seen this? This is good stuff. And she practically puts her own head in it to get to it.
She's like, give it a sniff.
Not to mention there was no weed in the bag to begin with.
Well, there was. Looks like crumpled up broccoli at the bottom. Yeah. Is what it looks like. and then he smothers her in the weed bag. I thought that was really clever.
That was a good one.
He also when we get to the climax of the film, he attaches his ex-wife or his wife to the bottom of an elevator shaft, and then sends the elevator up and down to just fuck with her.
Yeah,
that's great. So 6 is what I'm giving it here. All right, the next category we call More Heart Than Budget.
Oh, boy. I really struggled with this one because it's a canon movie. So therefore, there's like a certain amount of no budget built in. And so therefore, a certain amount of heart built in from that. They didn't try anything with the kills. They didn't try, like, otherwise it's just, like, mostly just people doing, you know, dressing up as normal people for the most part. But the bands are what really give me that extra little bit of a kick, the fact that they were in there and that they just kept putting them in there. So I'm also going with a 4 on this.
I'm going with a 6, but I can't justify it.
That's how we should score everything from now on. 6, none of your fucking business. Yeah.
That's good podcast right there. Fuck you.
Fuck you, it's a 6.
Shut up. Give it a 6, stop asking questions.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What's it to you?
Oh, my God. All right. This is... it's a canon film. It's in the height of the slasher craze. It's got a holiday. It's created to try and make a sequel, create a series, so they can make a bunch of money. That's everything. It's a really poor effort as far as art, but they do have those bands. So I will generously give it a 3.
Well, I think there's some fun to this movie. I mean, it's very early canon. I think they would have pushed further had this been full on into the VHS era. So I'm only giving it a 4.
But keep in mind, you don't have to justify why you gave it that.
I feel like for a 4, I do. If it was a 6, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I just say it's a 6. Go fuck yourselves. So the next category we call what the fuck moments.
All right. I felt for me the biggest what the fuck was just the son throughout the entire middle of the movie. Like his mom is on stage and there's just like he changed his costumes a couple of times in there. I feel like but so he puts on the pantyhose over his head, and is it me or does he like pierce his ear
with something.
And then it bleeds because of course he pierced it, but then that piercing magically goes away when he takes off the it's good.
All of those things are true.
Good.
Yeah.
I love Jim over there confirming that this is actually what fucking happened, folks. Yeah.
I mean,
didn't remember any of these things.
Yeah, like there's the fact that
he's not jiving you.
Yeah, that the assistant the assistant gets killed right away and is not... I don't know if she was ever technically discovered. Or no, she was. She was discovered very, very, very late in the movie. I thought, like, fuck, did she actually get killed? Because, you know, like, still not discovered. Great cop work. But,
yeah, they've searched this building top to bottom to make sure that it's safe and have not entered her assistant's room.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, they haven't even, you know, mentioned, like, we might want to shut the show down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. No.
No. No. Ratings are on the line, motherfucker.
Yeah. 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 That's not going to happen. And then, of course, when our killer runs afoul of the biker gang and gets chased around the drive-in, that's one of those completely
they came
like
in a nice car. So they're like, hey, yeah, let's fuck with it.
That was wow. That was one of those really out there moments for me. All of
it was
these
a Lincoln, wasn't it? It was a nice car.
I think it was a Mercedes, but either way. But you know,
brag to the girls about it.
All of these are kind of what the fucky, but none of them add up to being like something so over the top what the fucky. Because again, it really could have been, but it just wasn't. So I'm just going to go with a 5.
Wow. Yeah, I'm hearing what you're saying. I'm actually going to go lower. I want this movie to be more Boogaloo, but
oh yeah, for sure. I would love this movie to be more.
It
Boogaloo.
Is almost there. It's like Cro-Magnon Boogaloo.
Neolithic Boogaloo. It's
the uninvolved Boogaloo. Yeah, I think it's crazy as a Boogaloo personally.
So yeah, I can only go like as high as a 4. That's it.
I definitely don't believe
don't
in.
Don't worry, you didn't have to tell us why.
I don't believe in intelligent design as far as Boogaloo goes. That's clear.
Well, yes, intelligent design.
But that's nobody's going to watch this movie, and intelligent design is one of the things that's going to come up.
Intelligence rarely comes up with Boogaloo.
I can't believe you guys are so low on this. I mean, there's. Let's open with the opening kill that we've mentioned, because she's in her room or whatever, in her bathroom, or I think in her bathroom, right?
Yep.
And she hears a sound. She sticks her head out, but she never leaves the room, I don't believe. All of a sudden, the killer's in the curtain behind her, in the shower curtain, and kills her. I mean, how did he get in there?
Well, she opened the door for a moment.
Well, no, she comes out and the door is open, but then she does not check the place.
Yeah, that's
like,
right.
She's like, that's weird. The door's open.
Yeah, like the door's
I'm
open.
Sure that, I'm sure that's fine.
There's no room for him to get behind her side, unless he's like the Invisible Man or the Flash, which would make a lot of sense for how he killed people all the time. Yeah. And okay,
it does make good sense. Yeah,
the killer, when he calls in, he disguises his voice. How have nobody brought this up yet? Uses this voice box thing.
So then he talks like this, and he's gonna, I'm going to kill someone near you, very close to you.
He sounds like one of the Lollipop Guild.
We represent Lollipop.
So then he calls her after he's killed the nurse, and he says, I just had my first kill, even though it's his second. And and she goes, Are you really killing people? Or are you just jiving me? And he takes his voice box and in an effort to strike fear into her heart and those of the viewers goes, no way. I can't.
For the record, I find the Lollipop Guild very creepy.
Man, fair enough. Love those guys. So just here in August or something like that, the last one survivor died. So anyways, so
no way.
Very, you know, scary. So he goes later on the cop. There's a cop outside. So he takes a brick and he hammers this cop on the head. Later on, they say the cop was telling us he's hurt and he's going to the hospital. Like he got hit with a brick in the head. He's not that hurt though that he's dead. You think for sure he's dead, but of course you don't see it because it all happens off screen, because he like basically calls the cop over and you see him pick up the brick and then you hear a whack. So now he's Because there's only one cop stationed to keep the back door open in this whole building. Now he does get inside, and the police are like, oh, why is he there? The police are all over this building. Now they figured out that he's the bad guy. They're looking for him. He ends up with a Blaze at the end of the elevator after torturing her. He sits down with her, tells her the whole thing that's happening. It takes like 4 days to tell her. No police show up forever. It's one of those movies where things like the police or anything else, it's like we need it for certain scenes, so we have to establish it. But in other scenes, it would inconvenience our plot or our so we just ignore that we have them. And it's like totally inconsistent. I a ton of WTFs in this. And some real good ones. I'm somewhere between 7 and 8. I want to give it I was probably going to go 7. I think now that I've talked myself into an 8, plus I feel like I need to make up for your missing all these WTFs.
Well, I agree. I had an outstanding question, actually, that so you mentioned the voice modulator. So what it is it's like they're doing the countdown of the top new waves.
Fantastic question. Or you're just one that hasn't been
yet. I was wondering about that. Yeah. Yes. It's either like it's an outstanding question. Outstanding.
You better not. This question better be good. It better be goddamn outstanding.
I meant the other use of outstanding, but as in like an outstanding debt, which doesn't mean a great debt. That's
I got you, Jim. I understood that. That was what you meant.
I thought
the others are being overly literal.
No, we're being obtuse.
Yeah. So the plot revolves around she's hosting this countdown show of the top new wave songs, and you have to call in live. And I'm going to put aside that none of that makes any sense, because how do you do a countdown if people are voting at the same time? and he calls her a couple of times with the voice modulator to talk to her. Who the frick is screening these calls that they put through the guy using a voice modulator? Because she's not the only one answering the phones. There's a whole row of people on the phone. She randomly grabs a phone from someone, and it happens to be the killer with the voice modulator. who's the one screening the calls? Like, voice modulator guy. That's probably the one we want on air. let's put on the guy with the voice box that does this. Let's put that guy on the air. That's
well. If a celebrity like the top guild calls in, of course you're going to put them on air.
It was the 70s. People smoked. Voice boxes were much more common than they are today.
I forgot a good one, but go ahead.
I've one of my favorite bits is when he's picking up the girls at the bar. The sales pitch he gives them is that he's heard about this great big party that's happening at Eric Estrada's house.
That's right.
Jay freaking love. So I'm giving this a 7.
What about when he jumps off? What is it? About 10 feet, about 100 feet, 10 stories or something like that, or maybe even more. He falls to his death. And you get to the bottom and there's a close up on him and there's blood in the back of his hand and the back of his other hand and none on the ground or on his face where he landed. Or in the mask that the kid picks up and carries off with him, completely bloodless. He just fell 100 feet.
Well, that's common of this movie. It's completely. Well,
this movie
bloodless.
Did not have a lot of blood. That's for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
It may have been a ratings concern. That's you can get too much blood at times in our history of film. The too much blood is what gets you, and you can do anything else, but too much blood.
Well, yeah, there was nothing else really.
All right. Other than
language, there was really nothing that, well, and even that wasn't that bad.
There was boobs.
Speaking of, was there anything else? Our next category is called Memorable Moments.
All right.
Something I wouldn't forget.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm not going to forget. I'm not going to forget the New Year's Evil theme song by Shadow.
Boobs. Sorry.
You're just like this random voice that just won't shut up in the background.
Well, I remembered boobs, and it's like a light went over my head. Like, I want to talk about those.
The boob bulb. yes, but I'll never forget Shadow and the New Year's Evil band. Otherwise, I will absolutely proceed to forget everything else about this movie. So I will give the theme song a 4.
I love that you said I'll never forget Shadow and the other band.
Well, Made in Japan, I know their name.
I think this movie is a little bit more memorable than that. I'll definitely remember it more than, say, Santa with Muscles, which I'm already forgetting.
Tell me about Heber Hammer. Go.
Heber Hammer's the one I've probably talked to people most about the whole season.
Tell us all about Santa.
I should go back and modify the score there.
Santa's Sleigh should be the talked about.
And I probably would, if I'm gearing up for a marathon of horror movies associated with holidays, I'm probably going to throw this one in again. So definitely more memorable than some of them, but not huge on the scale. I'm going to go with another 4.
The music is what's memorable. Nothing else is memorable. Except for, you know what, actually, I mean, I can't say that. That's not true. The kid with the nylon, like, that whole thing is memorable. And they did do it on purpose, though it was just a poor choice. Yes. Maybe it wasn't a poor choice. They're trying to establish that he's messed up so that he can become a killer in the next film. So I'm only going to give it a 3, though.
All right. I've forgotten a decent amount of the movie. I do like that there is a clear explanation at the end for why he's doing all this, because he tells her, "You castrated me," and that's not very nice.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That is.
And in fairness, it isn't. So I also gave this a 3.
Remember, Nick, when you castrated me, not nice.
Not nice.
Yeah.
I love that the double bill at the drive-in was Blood Feast and Blood Bath.
That's right. That was a good double bill.
I like that part. Yeah.
Let's watch those movies.
Yeah. Oh! Yeah. Can we do that? We're going to do those next season.
I have a great idea. We need to do a season of the movies that play at the drive-ins.
Oh, that's
during
awesome. Yeah.
our other movies.
All right, we're up to 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got half a season already. Okay, we're almost there. All right. Our last category is called Crazy Concept.
I mean, it doesn't seem too crazy to me overall. I mean, when you take the New Year's Eve party and just, I mean, really, it's the idea of saying, like, hey, New Year's Evil, that's a great title, because I'm convinced that this came from the title. And that then they just tried to work a story of being of killing around New Year's Eve. So that by itself, especially the fact that it's canon, doesn't seem terribly cuckoo crazy. So, I've been going a lot with 4, but I'm sticking with 4.
I'm going with 3. It's no Leprechaun.
But what is?
serial killer around St. Patrick's Day? That's a little crazy.
It is much crazier.
New Year's, yeah, okay, but not as crazy as. So 3.
I think literally they sat there in an office at the Canon Films and went, "We want to make a slasher film. What holidays are left? That New Year's Eve? Okay, let's make a slasher film that makes us a sequel." One.
Anytime you're sitting down to make a movie and you go, "When's this coming out?"
Which is released in August or something.
Probably. That's actually worth looking up.
December 26th, though. So,
nice. Well done.
They nailed that.
But that's a bad idea because, I mean, who's going to go see New Year's Evil on like the 10th of January?
Went to see New Year's Evil on December
23rd. Fair enough. Walked right into that one, yeah.
For the Nick.
All right, I gave this a 3. All right, and that wraps up the voting. And every season we have six secret modifiers. This film has one. There is a festive song sung. It's not a carol because it's New Year's, but we did have a song about New Year's. So that gives us a bonus one for a grand total of 43 out of 100. Coming in just behind our last episode, Santa with Muscles.
I'm not terribly surprised by this whole thing.
So what's the big winner of the season then? What's number one? What's number two? And that's, is this number last then?
This is not the last. Great Rupert was the bottom of the pack. Top was Elves.
Ooh. Oh, Elves. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, elves, and then Santa Slay. So we should have done a horror Boogaloo season, a holiday horror overall as in the end anyway. But we saw some interesting movies, that's for sure.
Yeah, one of the things that I found crazy that confused me for a moment is the fact that we have two movies starring actors named Grant Kramer.
who aren't the same person.
Yeah.
Really?
And, yeah,
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, because there's a Grant Kramer in this one, spelled with a Grant C. Kramer. And then in Santa Claus, it's Grant spelled with a K. Kramer. And I was just like, is it the same Grant Kramer? What, that can't be, because that would have been awesome. But no, unfortunately not the same Grant Kramer. So
doesn't it feel like the odds would be less that it isn't the same Grant Kramer?
Yeah.
It seems like more of a stretch.
I suppose that's true.
We got a real Kramer versus Kramer situation here.
Nicely done. Good one. Slow clap. There we go. Well, I do want to say that this has been a fun season, and thank you guys for Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. I love this show. I love the listeners who let us do it. I love the holidays, New Year's Eve and Christmas, and what the hell, I even love you guys. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, happy Hanukkah, good New Year's, whatever the hell we're doing.
Sure. All of that stuff and more.
All of that and more.
Aw, shucks.
All right. Okay, Nick, tell the fans where they can find us on the internet so that they can feel some of the love that we are giving off.
Okay, that's the first time I'm ever doing it. You can find us. We are hosted by the We Talk Podcast Network.
We're just asking you to do it to see if you even know.
That's how right.
You can find us on Instagram at We Talk. Give me a warning. You already searched this shit.
I have to find it. All right, Jim. There. Jim, help us out.
I have to give me a second. We are on Instagram at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo and use the hashtag Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. And you should visit our podcast sponsors, WeTalkPodcasts.com, also home of The Octagon, which gives you an update of all the movies that we have done so far and how they rate in each category and their final total. We Talk Podcasts also has a Facebook page and a Twitter feed, and you can get updates on what we're up to on those.
You know, in all fairness, I couldn't do it either.
and I just want to say, if people want to, for the holidays, send us something for the holidays, like a gift, a bag with broccoli in the bottom that we can kill somebody with.
Or their copies of New Year's Evil on VHS. Yep.
Yeah.
All those things we will happily accept.
I assume they all have them.
if Shadow or what was it? Bangkok Boogaloo, what was Made in Japan?
Have a sample.
If they have a current CD, please they should send that over to us as well.
They should. They're probably listening.
A Bandcamp account or whatever.
Yeah.
All right. I'm very happy to announce that next season we will be blasting away from this planet, and we will become the Astronauts in season 5 of the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo, where we're dealing with some space movies. and our first space movie that you'll hear is Star Crash, which has Christopher Plummer and David Hasselhoff in it. So I'm very excited about that movie.
That's right. This will be, it's Astronuts with a Z, so it's Astronuts because that's more Boogaloo. But yeah, all the movies take place in outer space. There's no sci-fi on Earth here. That's nope. Important. That's an important key to the season.
So yes, it's sci-fi Boogaloo for everybody. So I'm really looking forward to next season because, again, it's going to be really different from this season. And I like it. I like it when we go different. It's a lot of fun. I'll hate it by
this
the time
this season
we
was
the
pretty
end,
different, but, though.
Oh, boy, was it ever. There was usually... I mean, the first season was something because all of them felt like, to a certain degree, that we were watching the same movie after a little while. The second,
actually, that's season two. Season two.
The season two, absolutely, definitely was like that. Season three, of course, was a little bit crazier. This one was all over the map because we had the happy movies, we had the crazy movies, we had the horror movies. Oh, yeah. This was one of the most Boogaloo seasons we could have imagined.
Oh, can we get some ninjas, though? I need some ninjas.
Oh, we'll get back to ninjas. Don't you worry about that. We will get back to ninjas. All right. Well, let's wrap up season four because people need to get on to their New Year's celebrations and enjoy the new year of 2019. Oh, my Lord. It's going to be so much fun. More Boogaloo for everyone. All right. For Nick, for Jack, and for Jim, I am 8th Dan Stanadu, and thank you for listening to Season 4, Hall of Damned, of the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo!
Celebrating New Year's Eve. He was out, ending their life.
I'm going to commit murder at midnight. Call me
New Year's Eve, the caller came out.